Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
School is right around the corner, and my prediction is that the 2022-2023 school year will be another challenging year for both students and parents. Not necessarily challenging academically, but challenging as more and more schools are indoctrinating rather than educating students. As parents are shut out of their child's schooling, as unscientific mask mandates will continue in some schools to be pushed on students. But it's not just local school boards or the Pennsylvania State Education Association, that's the NEA affiliate here in PA, or Governor Wolf who are attacking. The attack is coming from higher up. My guest today is Linda Harvey, president of Columbus, Ohio-based Mission America. Thanks, Linda, for being with us.
Thanks, Diane, for having me.
So what is your prediction for this next coming school year, which Pennsylvania starts on August 30th in most schools, especially in Western PA? What do you think?
Well, I think parents need to be on hyper alert because, of course, we have a very contentious midterm election coming up, and the Democrats are desperate to assert power wherever they can and also to create controversy. So we're constantly running around, putting out fires on defense. And, you know, concerned parents, conservatives, people with some sanity left, I guess I would say.
And
there's so many different areas in which this is coming down, with critical race theory infused lessons, with the LGBTQ agenda exploding in schools, the pronoun nonsense, and all of the then usual nonsense they inflict on us in the fall, like coming out day, gay and lesbian history month, and so on. You know, parents really have to be on alert this year.
Yeah, there's been one silver lining with this whole so-called COVID pandemic is that parents have been able to see, because of the Zoom meetings and such that were, you know, the schools used to a face-to-face meeting, the parents have been able to see what their kids are actually being taught. I mean, you and I, in other words, have been talking about this kind of stuff and warning parents that this stuff is in there, more than likely in their school, in their child's school. But until they actually saw it, until they actually heard the words coming out of their child's teacher's mouth, they did not fully understand or did not fully believe what we were saying. What do you think?
Yes, they have seen so many, parents have seen so many things that basically alarmed them, from, you know, teaching about, you know, systemic racism and white supremacy taking over our culture, which is not true. It's provably and observably not true. And the distortion of the whole idea of racism. And now, yes, they want to discriminate based on skin color. And it's, you know, it's basically a movement to pit groups against each other, you know, oppressors and the oppressed. Well, you have to develop that in America because we're the most privileged country in the history of the world. And you have to manufacture this. Well, that's what they're doing. And so that it's heterosexuality against the gender deviance and homosexuality. It's people of color versus people of white people. And the schools are where it's all being centered. They want kids to be change agents. And there's such a strong ideology. And then, of course, they have federal money now, and in many cases, state money, to get these programs through. And capping the whole thing is social emotional learning, which allows values to be inculcated that parents don't necessarily want. It allows schools to survey kids without parental approval and to interfere and counsel children behind parents' backs without them even knowing what's going on.
Exactly. And, you know, they tag things or give names to this, to some of this stuff. A perfect example is, you know, it's a nice sounding name, social emotional learning, but it's bad. As you're saying, schools can do all sorts of things under the guise of social emotional learning. And that was the last education bill that Obama signed before he left office in 2016. The last bill that he signed was that which was supposed to have gotten rid of Common Core, which included social emotional learning, was signed. I'm sorry, anything that Obama signs far as that goes, anything that Biden signs, it's not good for the country. That's my opinion. But yeah, it's just bad. And, you know, here in Pennsylvania, I don't know about Ohio, but here in Pennsylvania, we're supposed to have local control of schools where, you know, the school board makes a determination of what takes place in the school district. Is that a reality?
Well, it's not a reality when you see how much federal money and state money in many cases is coming in and the strings that are attached. And for instance, one thing that people really need to be aware of right now is Biden's complete and sweeping changes of Title IX non-discrimination policy to redefine the term sex to include sexual orientation, gender identity, sexual harassment, sexual violence, pregnancy and related conditions, which people think means abortion. Mm-hmm. And that's going to apply to K through 12 schools and higher education. And there's a ton of money attached to that. Well, those regulations, the cutoff date for comments is September 12th. So, you know, after that, they're going to do what they want. And then the Title IX coordinator comes into your school with all this money and all this power. Anything can be redefined this way. We have a situation in Wisconsin where three middle school boys were under the proposed Title IX regulations, were accused of sexual harassment. It was because they used the wrong pronouns in a verbal exchange with one very confused little classmate. And after threats of a lawsuit did the school back down. But with all this federal money, the Title IX coordinator is going to have more power than the principal or the superintendent because they could bring charges against any of them. Mm.
Yeah. Insane world that we live in. We have middle schoolers charged with sexual harassment for using the wrong pronoun. I mean, this whole pronoun war thing is ridiculous, but it's intended to force, almost to the point of force, people to comply or be silent because they're afraid of being labeled transphobic or, you know, in this case with these kids charged with sexual harassment. Weren't they expelled for a while until the school came to its senses?
Right. They were accused of sexual harassment and they were on suspension.
Okay.
And so, yeah, and then they backed down because mm-hmm. the parents were going to sue. And the whole thing was just a verbal exchange. There was no sexual harassment.
Yeah.
And it was just one very confused, I think it's a girl, mm-hmm. who did not want to be, you know, have them use regular pronouns
right.
for her. And this is just, it's nonsense. Yeah. But when you broadly define this, which the Trump administration had walked that back to its original mm-hmm. 1972 meaning of sex, biological sex.
Right.
And because Obama had tried this to some extent, but nothing like Biden. They're going full
steroids.
On steroids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part of the language of Title IX from 72 is, quote, no person shall on the basis of sex be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance, unquote. That's part of, so it's, mm-hmm. as you're saying, they're redefining that three-letter word sex to expand it to include sexual orientation, gender identity. So in the case of the Wisconsin middle schoolers, those charges of sexual harassment would have stuck, would have been part of their permanent record, and they would have probably been expelled from school if this attempt by the Biden administration and the U.S. Department of Education to change that word, sex, to expand it to mean sexual orientation, gender identity, those kids would have been expelled, and that would have been permanently on their record that they were sexual harassers.
And guilty of a federal civil rights violation.
Wow.
This is all under federal civil rights code, and the Department of Education has its own Office of Civil Rights.
Mm-hmm.
This is all under that. So, and then here's the thing parents really need to understand, that both for teachers and students, for students, that when you're defending their civil rights, or you broaden it to this extent, and people are saying, oh, well, this is a civil rights violation, you have, you know, such sweeping power that the federal government, and this is part of the new Title IX revisions, believes it has the power to counsel your daughter or your son behind your back on gender identity, on abortion, on homosexuality, on, you know, pronoun use and the use of new names and all that while they're at school. And it's a civil rights issue. If you interfere, parent, you know, this is such you know, jaw-dropping when you think about the power they're being given, and they have the money behind them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, such an attack on parental rights when they can do things like that to their, you know, the school system, or the U.S. Department of Education, which in my book is totally unconstitutional because the U.S. Constitution says nothing about Congress having power over education. So to me, it should be the U.S. Department of Education should be abolished. But I don't see anyone having the guts to do that.
Yes. Yes. The courage to do that. Yes.
That's right. They're given such power even now. But now you're saying that if, and it probably will take place, because it doesn't matter how many hundreds of thousands or even millions of Americans file a complaint or, you know, put in their two cents about this, because the changes to the Title IX that Department of Education is proposing, that's up for public review, because that is the law. Before those changes can be made, that has to be open for public comment, which it is until I think September 12th. And then that, my feeling is, they're not going to care who says what. They're going to do whatever they want. And even though there's 10 no votes to doing this to one yes vote to do this in the complaints, the Department of Education will do whatever they want, which is go through
with
this.
They will.
Yeah.
Yes, they will. And but the only thing we can hope is that with the midterms, there will be a change in Congress where perhaps there will be legislative relief to stop this. And I'm just hoping that that will happen, because, you know, the money comes through Congress. And if Congress flips red to the Republicans, maybe they can cut off the dollars that are going along with this unlawful. This is lawlessness.
Yeah.
This unlawful interpretation of Title IX.
Yeah, because the folks in Congress back in 1972 never intended the word sex to be redefined. I mean, the whole gender identity thing was not even conceived at that point, at least not openly. And it was not something that Congress dealt with. And when that was passed in 72, Title IX was passed in 72, the word sex meant just that. It didn't mean to be expanded at all. But yeah, the Democrats have been trying to do that for, well, you know, like you said, back in Obama, he's the one who first started it. And hopefully there will be enough Republicans, if they, prayerfully, they will regain the House and Senate in November. And there'll be enough who have the courage to do what needs to be done. Because you know how the media will paint these congressmen if they want to walk back and put Title IX back to the original definition.
Oh, yeah.
You know, transphobic, homophobic, blah, blah, blah.
Right. So. Right. But the thing is, what the irony is, that with the exclusion of certain girls from sports opportunities because transgender boys who are, you know, or boys that are gender confused will be taking away their sports opportunities, this is going to create discrimination against girls, exactly the opposite of the original intent of the bill. It also creates discrimination against girls in their private spaces, in bathrooms, in showers, on sports trips. And of course, this, I haven't even talked about higher education. You know, this is going to force people to accept a opposite sex roommate if it's a transgender confused person, or else you are guilty of a civil rights violation. I mean, there's so many ways in which, once you get out of high school, this can be just expanded almost infinitely.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah.
Wow. The ramifications go from preschool, really. A school that receives federal funds and has a preschool program, it will impact preschoolers through, as you're saying, higher education. And every aspect, every student and employee of those schools will be impacted with this decision.
Yeah, and it'll be a talk about a hostile climate. They talk about hostile climates all the way through this document, but a hostile climate is one where you were in terror of being accused of sexual harassment just because you rolled your eyes at the ridiculousness of the pronoun situation. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we're going to be involved in, that you will be accused as a teacher or a student of creating a hostile environment, and that's a civil rights violation.
Well, like, as you've said, with the example in Wisconsin, and there are other examples with students, plus we already have professors who have been fired or at least reprimanded because they used the wrong pronoun, even though they tried to do a compromise, you know, have a compromise with that student, the student still felt the liberty to file a complaint. And I know the Biden administration has made it easy for LGBTQ students to file complaints, to file civil rights complaints. So the Biden administration is creating this situation, this discriminatory situation within the schools in this country. And as you're saying, it's going to cause greater division among the students, tension. And I mean, what child wants to go to school who knows, like a little girl, what is a little girl or a teenage girl, why would she want to go to school if she knows she cannot use the bathroom in safety, if she knows that there could be a boy in there? And even though these males may identify as female, as we've seen with examples in Virginia, where a male began to identify as female and he raped a female student in one school, the school district transferred him to another, and the same thing happened. Girls need to be very wary of the danger they're in.
Yes, absolutely.
Locker room, yeah, shower room, yeah.
Yep. This can go in so many different directions. You know, the parents are going to have to be very wary about this coming down the pike. And of course, I think this motivates people in the election even more so to find out, you know, ask that person running for Congress, what do you think about the new Title IX revisions? Mm-hmm. Are you okay with them? Mm-hmm. You put these Democrats on record as saying, oh, I'm fine with that. Oh, really? Okay. So you're okay with them counseling my son behind your back to become a, you know, mm-hmm. go full board into puberty blockers and opposite sex hormones. You're okay with that because that's what they think is okay.
Yeah.
This is a national election issue. The education outrage is going on in education and in these schools. And so this becomes something we need to pin people down on.
Absolutely. And I know it's very difficult to get anything out of school board members as far as their stance on these issues. That does not mean we do not attempt to find the answers to the questions and need to ask anyone running for office, whether it be school board member or congressman, because they all will have an impact on your child's education. Yeah. And will have an impact on your child's safety.
And mental health and future stability and future health.
Yeah. You
know, people that go on puberty blockers and opposite sex hormones are patients for life. They are their bodies and their skeletal systems and so many other things are compromised for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and can't help but think that the pharmaceutical companies are behind this also, as well as they are behind the COVID shot. That's my two cents on that.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a very, very sad situation that our public education system has come so far to the left. And their concentration is not on academics. Their concentration is on, as you said earlier, creating change agents out of these students. That's not what public education is supposed to be, but that's what we have right now, the situation that we have now. So what would you counsel parents to do in these situations? Should they send their kids to school, public school, or what should they do?
Well, if you can at all remove your child from the public schools and homeschool or go to a reputable and faithful Christian school, because Christian schools, you have to watch them too. Mm-hmm. They're being influenced by this little by little. You're seeing it creep in there as well. But if you can do that at all, you will never, ever, ever regret it. It's the best thing to do in this current environment because you can't get this back once your child is these ideas are unleashed. It's very, very difficult to undo it.
Yeah.
But if you have to, for whatever reason, you are staying in the public schools, then you have to commit to vigilant monitoring of what's being taught. You have to, you know, don't take your son or daughter's, you know, what'd you do today in school? What'd you study? Oh, nothing. Don't take that. You know,
exactly.
Ask for details. Have them document for you. Have them open up their computers and show you what's going on. And you have to then be willing to step out and take some heat if you see something you don't like.
Especially after you have the DOJ describing parents who speak at a school board meetings as domestic terrorists. Do you think that will cause parents to hesitate to speak at a school board meetings because they have been labeled as a domestic terrorist?
It'll intimidate some people. Some people are intimidated, you know. I think they need to realize that there are too many of us. They can't come after everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to back down from that.
Yeah.
They got so much heat because they were calling people that were just simply outraged, like the man in the Virginia situation.
Mm-hmm.
He was a father who had been given the runaround by the school and the police in cooperation to hide this attack on his daughter. Mm-hmm. That was what he was about to stand up at the school board meeting and reveal. Well, when all this came out, they don't want that situation again. And they cited that Loudoun County mm-hmm. situation as one of the evidences of outrageous parents. This was right before, of course, the facts of the whole thing came out. So they've got egg on their face about that whole thing. So don't let that intimidate you folks. Don't let that go and do it. These are your children. And you don't have to stand up and make a public case in every situation. You can go privately and work behind the scenes with the principal, the superintendent, but put it all in writing.
Exactly.
And the school board means put no phone call. Phone calls are fine, but document it and back it up in writing.
Exactly. And if you go, don't just go by yourself. If you go meet with the superintendent or principal, make sure you go in pairs. Go two by two.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like some of that scripture about that, I think. Anyway, yes. how can folks contact you, Linda?
Well, our website is missionamerica.com, and we have a radio show here in Ohio. You can listen to that, and there's a link for that on our website. And you can also sign up for our e-newsletter as well.
Yeah, you're on Salem News. Is it Salem?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
Salem Station.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yeah, I just have to drive an hour west, and I'll be in Ohio, and I can listen to you. But with the price of gas, I'm not going to do it. So,
well, it's also on the web. It's the word Columbus.com, and so it's live streaming 1 to 1:30 on Saturday.
Okay, fantastic. So. Hey, you take care, and we'll be praying for these students who are going to be basically entering a gauntlet this year as they go back to school.
Yeah, yep. Let's pray for our kids and equip them well. Absolutely. Thank you, Diane, so much.
Hey, take care.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.